it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday. Maybe a case of the Mondays. Haven't had one of those in a while.
Mm-mm.
Because the Kings, you know, I keep on saying, I say doors blown off a lot. We say blowout, doors blown off, annihilated. We have to think of something new because this is a trend. So every fourth game, the Kings, they didn't show up. Mike Brown's personal favorite, they kicked our behind, okay? That could be a bingo card.
Yeah.
A bingo card for the Sacramento Kings season. Oh, wow, I got the fourth game of a homestand or of a rotation. I got the blowout. Mark that one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Coach said they kicked our behind. Mark that one. Oh, wow. Keon Ellis is the one taking the podium. Mark that one.
Yep.
There'd be a bingo every 2 seconds. Kingo would be the ultimate bingo where you get every single thing. They get their doors detached. Okay? Detached. 133 to 100. All right, you need to give those good people of Sacramento their money back from the 916, from the 209. Where else am I forgetting, Chris?
I don't know. I know the Sacramento has a new area code because they used all the 916. So whatever
is the that
new
one is, I think it's, give them their money back. Give them at least 50% off to buy a jersey, buy something, because they went out there. They said, you know what? Even though you can't do it against the Pelicans, we believe. They spent their Sunday. Yep. They skipped church. They skipped family dinner. And everybody showed up. The kids showed up. It was family night. The parents showed up.
Yeah.
Slamson showed up.
Yeah.
You know who didn't show up? The Kings.
Yeah.
The Kings didn't Pretty show crazy. Up. The Pelicans showed up. Hey, we're ready to go.
Yeah. Not even all the Pelicans showed up either.
You know what? You know what, Kings? We know we've given you a rough go. Yeah. We're going to go no Zion.
Yeah.
No Zion.
And that was a slap in the face, too, because that was like a, even if you guys do beat us today, like, you can't even say you beat us at full strength. Mm-hmm. So, like, can you really even take some confidence? Even the Pelicans were giving them that little nugget, and the Kings couldn't even capitalize on it.
So, they couldn't do it.
Gross.
They couldn't do it. So, we have plenty.
Plenty.
To get to
almost too much
with the Kings. NFL playoffs are here. At least you got the Niners talking about, you know, Jason Ross saying cleanse the palate with the crumble cookies. We will be cleansing the palate with the Niners, even though they lost yesterday. And hey, if you're a Brock Purdy hater, I don't think Sam Darnold really did you too much help there.
Right.
I mean, he didn't look bad.
Too much damage. I guess,
right. He didn't look bad, but I don't think anybody's saying, man.
No.
Now he did look good with the first group, but it was not Brock.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
it was not Brock. He can spin it, but it was not Brock Purdy. So we'll talk NFL playoffs and the different situations for the Niners. We will also have Emil Fragoso at 11 a.m. Not going to want to miss that as we discuss all things Niners and the playoffs. And yeah, all right, if there are any double agents out there listening, okay, yes, this is a King station. But the most polarizing person has returned to the microphone, besides myself and Chris Watkins. Draymond Green has dropped his podcast. He re-signs with the Volume, a full media rollout.
Yeah.
He's on some type of stage. It looks like he's not in his hotel room like normally. He's on some type of stage. He's talking about crying. Mm-hmm. He's talking about he thought about retiring Adam Silver.
Yeah.
He said a lot. You've listened to the whole thing.
I did.
I've gotten through about 50% of it. So we're breaking down all of those clips and what that means for Draymond and a team in the Warriors who also got blown out. But, oh, you know, I'm paying attention, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting. I'm waiting, right? Because same idea, okay? Because, you know, my timelines, I have both because of my background. So I got my Kings tweets. Everybody is freaking out. And then the Warriors are getting blown out. I think they made it close at one point because I had a tweet ready. And then in about the third quarter, they got it to 15. I thought, okay, I might have to put it away. Then they eventually get their doors taken off as well. And people are leaving. They are booing in the Chase Center. And you know what I'm waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's going to speak?
Exactly.
Okay? So I'm refreshing. I'm texting you, Brendan, Frankie. Who's going to speak? Who's going to speak? First person I see Moses Moody. I think, oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Maybe the smoke was a little too much, mm-hmm. all right, from Sacramento media and Keon Ellis being the one to speak. I'm looking. Oh, and then I see Klay Thompson speak. Klay Thompson talking about being a champion. Oh, okay. Then I see Steph Curry speak.
Oh, that's three of them. Be
Steph Curry had 9 points. Terrible game. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox had three.
And you know what's even crazier? Those were the first 3 points of the game.
And then he just said, I'm straight.
He said, I'm good.
There will be no more MVP talk. That is, you know, if you go in timeout, you put your kid in timeout, grounded.
Yeah.
MVP talk is grounded, as far as I'm concerned, for De'Aaron Fox. For a multitude of reasons, but there's no need in talking about that. Championship talk is grounded. Yep. There's no need in talking about that. And
can we still do All-Star?
We can do All-Star.
Okay.
We can do All-Star. Hey, go out and vote.
Go vote.
Go out and vote.
Go vote.
Gotta go vote.
Hey, you see that game yesterday?
Go vote.
Go vote.
Give them a vote for each point they score. De'Aaron gets three votes. Three votes, all right? So, you know, I don't even want to spend time talking about the actual game because there's nothing to talk about.
No, there really
wasn't. Let's just get out the way. Keon Ellis looked good.
I can give you some Pelican facts if you want.
I think I'm good.
That fourth quarter was spent looking at a lot of Pelican facts.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time for that.
Just so you know.
They can do that out in New Orleans, okay? They can eat their beignets and enjoy the fact that they own.
No, just facts about Pelican, like the birds. I can give you facts. That's what I did with my fourth quarter. I told you,
there are a lot of bird watchers out there. There are a lot of bird watchers out there.
You did
say that. A lot of bird watchers out there, and that's what we were doing yesterday as we watched the Pelicans destroy the Kings. And I'm telling you right now, as far as the game is concerned, let's just get it out the way. It was nice to see Kevin Huerter get going a little bit. It was nice to see Keon Ellis, who no clue why he got taken out of the rotation, because Davion had a good second half against the Hawks, and now all of a sudden Keon can't get back on the floor. Keon came right back in, was hitting threes, while it was still a respectable game, mind you, before it was over. And then it was over, and Keon continued to play. Got to see a little bit of Colby Jones, Kessler Edwards, a couple guys. It was a G League showcase.
Yep.
That's what it was. Yeah. But instead of Stockton, they decided, hey, guys, it'll be really nice for family night if we do the G League showcase. Yeah. In
Stockton,
Sacramento,
it's all a family.
Right. We want to get you to the big boy. It's like when JV, if the away team, the varsity team is playing away, so the JV team gets to use the big boy court.
Right.
That's what it was last night. So I hope that's what you planned on paying for, Sacramento. Yeah. I hope that's what you planned on paying for, okay? And I promise you we won't be this sarcastic throughout the whole show.
Just the first segment.
I was going to say show up, but they didn't. But to arrive at the arena knowing everything that's happened. And Malik Monk.
We owe him one.
Yeah. You owe him another blowout?
Yeah.
You owe him another W? Mm. Here you go, Chris.
Huh.
Here you go. They love getting blown out. Death taxes, and the Kings getting blown out every fourth game of the season. This is from our guy Frankie Cardicelli. He pulled these numbers, so I don't have to.
But I thought Frankie only posted positive things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Just a company man. Here you go. Sacramento Kings have lost 14 games this season. 7 of their 14 losses have been by 15 or more. Okay? They've lost by 36. You know who that was to? The Pelicans.
Yep.
Then they lost by 33. You know who that was to?
If you say the
Pelicans. It was the Pelicans. Okay. Last night was 33.
Oh, okay.
100 to 133. After that, lost by 25. Lost by 25.
I think those are both Rockets.
Probably. Lost by 20. Lost by 18. At least you're out of the 20s. And then lost by 17.
Woof. Woof. How many losses do the Kings have this year? Like 13? 14? I think it's 14 now.
That's 7 of them. 50% of your losses, you could have just stayed home and rested your bodies.
That's bad. Like that's why we keep coming on this show. And, you know, for 2 days, like you said, or 3 games, we'll talk positive. We'll talk, oh my gosh, what's this team got to do to kind of, you know, break through? What's the ceiling? And then we're talking, ripping out the trade machine the next day. And it's because of the lack of stability, but also the major fluctuation of just, like, if you're going to lose, it's one thing to lose by 8 points, keep it competitive throughout the game. Maybe that other team maybe they are better than you. Maybe they do present a difficult challenge for you. You can still lose by 8 and still have some positive feelings. But when you lose by 17, 18, 19, 35, 36 points, it's like great teams don't do that. Look at the losses for the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. I guarantee they probably, if they even do have a 30-point loss, there's no way there's multiple.
No.
And there's no way that they have four losses by more than 20 points. It's not something that actual good teams do. And so to me, it just tells me that, yes, this team can get away with winning some games. They're a good collection of talent, but there's something wrong with this team that needs to be addressed. And if you're getting blown out like that, like yesterday is a kind of game where, to me, if you're Monty McNair, I don't know how you watch that game and not say, we need to make a move now, like sooner rather than later,
yeah.
Like in this week. Like, I know the Kings are, before the Kings come back on January 18th to play the Pacers, to me, if they continue to look like this, I know they're playing Detroit and Charlotte, so that might be perfect timing. It could be the worst timing ever. To me, after watching that game, I would say, look, I'm definitely at least picking up the phones today. I don't know if I'm making a deal today, but I'm definitely got to gauge what's going on around here because I have to do something. Or else, you know, yeah, Monty's done great. He won Executive of the Year. I'm not calling for his job at all, but you got to do something. You can't have two trade deadlines in a row of doing absolutely nothing when there's clear needs for your team. And there's, you could argue there's a window to be had here that you can jump through.
What do we always say on this show, Chris? Exceeding expectations is easier than meeting them. Monty McNair, Coach Mike Brown, last season, they exceeded expectations because the expectations were so low because they've been in the playoffs for 16 years.
Yeah.
This is the first time they're operating with expectations. So, no, you can't just stand pat and not do anything. Look at this homestand. We got to get to a break. Look at this homestand. The four games. You lost to the Hornets, okay? You went double overtime with the Magic without Franz Wagner.
Right.
Okay? You almost messed around and lost to the Raptors. I'll give you that. That was a W. Sure. I'll give you that W. And then you get your doors blown off.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
It's not good at all. And then you can throw the Portland loss on there a couple games before. And then, you know, yeah, almost losing to Atlanta as well.
It's they are
and sandwiched in between those because they are Memphis. The Kings is their best win of
yes.
the season.
They are playing with fire every single time they take the court. And I'm scared of going to Detroit. I'm scared.
Yeah.
If you're a Kings fan and you're at
that
game,
streak's over.
We're praying for you.
Yeah.
We're praying for you. All right. Got to get to a break. And this is basically how we're going to break this thing down, man. So there is the X's and O's side of this. To where let's try to figure out what is going wrong. That's what we're going to do when we get back from the break. Then later on in the show, about 11:30, then we're going to talk about the foundational issues that we think might be happening. And that's where we're going to talk about the podium. That's where we're going to talk about media availability. That's at 11:30. Sandwiched in between that, we got Draymond Talk at 10:30. We got Emil Fragoso at 11, and we're talking Niners matchup. So if you're... When we get back, it's X's and O's. Later on in the show is when we talk about the leadership or lack thereof with the Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Emil Fragoso joins us at 11. We will be breaking down all things Niners playoffs and who they could, would, and should play based on who wins. We also, later on in the show, we'll talk about yesterday and Week 18 and what we should make of this NFL season. I'll tell you what, when I look at that bracket, I just don't see the Niners losing. I don't. And I saw Bill Barnwell had I believe he had the Chiefs beating the Cowboys. He was on with Scott Van Pelt last night.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh. And I just don't understand the obsession with the Cowboys. He had the Chiefs beating the Cowboys, I think 27-13 or something like that.
To me, the Chiefs are the more egregious one.
Yeah,
I can see how
true.
The Cowboys, like, if there's ever going to be a year.
I'm
like,
90% sure it was the Chiefs, because I would have remembered the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was the Chiefs. It wasn't the Bills. So yeah, that's who he had, and I think it's just humans being creatures of what they're used to.
Well, also right? Chiefs Cowboys definitely is like if you're right. on ESPN, that's a really nice more graphic to show, right? Yes. Is hey, here's the funnest player in the NFL against the biggest brand, like,
right?
You know,
so
it's almost ESPN central casting right there.
Maybe it's more about that. So the Sack Chat, got to shout out the Sack Chat as we always do. I see Scooter 916 talking about. Well, you know, the ins and outs of the media availability. That's what we're going to tackle at 11:30 because, yeah, they did speak. A lot of the players, I don't know if a lot is the correct term, but players did speak in the locker room.
Yeah.
We are talking about who got sent to the podium, and we will give you kind of an inside look at all that. We're not just going to shoot from the hip here, so don't worry. We got that for you. Let's get to the X's and O's for now, though. Because no Zion, and the length is an issue, as we all already know. And every game, it feels like I'm in the pregame presser, and you are too with Coach Mike Brown. He's, these guys are long, these guys are big. That's just the whole league. So what are you going to do? Not to bring this back to trades,
sure.
But what are you gonna do? Right, it's. I don't really find this to be a Pelican specific problem.
No,
I don't know.
Definitely not.
I don't know why the Kings are able to beat the Thunder.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe some teams just give other teams trouble, but this isn't the Pelicans aren't the one off long team in the league. So I don't know that this is a Pelican thing. I think the Pelicans just have ownage.
Yeah.
At this point, shout out Crook and Kipe. They just have ownage over the Kings right now. And the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about, and what. I hate to speculate here, but De'Aaron, he does not look right.
He does not. He sure
he doesn't look right. No. And
3 points?
3 points.
Come on.
He doesn't look
one
right.
Of 10, I think.
He's still powering through trying to guard CJ. And we said this the last game.
Yeah.
If you're not right, brother, you should not be guarding their best guard because it's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
CJ's going
it's pride
off.
Pride working against you, really.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, to me, to start with the length thing, I do think that the length is a problem for this team. I you mentioned OKC. I feel like there are teams that are excessive length. I think OKC has length, but like, you know, Shea is 6'6". Mm-hmm. He's definitely got length, but they're not overwhelming. They got Jalen Williams, who's like 6'7", not crazy long. Josh Giddey. They're not like super long. I mean, Chet's a center. When I think of a long team, I think teams like the Clippers, who have Paul George, Kawhi, James Harden. You have,
T-Wolves.
I mean, the T-Wolves have Jaden McDaniels. They've got Anthony Edwards. They've got Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid in some lineups and Kyle Anderson. That's a long team. New Orleans, they have Herb Jones. They've got Brandon Ingram, who's got a go-go gadget arms. Yeah. They've got Trey Murphy, who didn't even get in yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then you got Zion as well. Like, they present real length. And to me, yesterday in the pregame press conference was the best I've heard someone describe why length is so bothersome. Mike Brown just kind of said, you know, it's like when you're playing against, I guess, normal NBA players, the guys who don't have exceptional length, you know, there's certain passing lanes that are there. You're used to taking 3 steps into the lane and before you meet somebody. But when you play a team with length, everything gets cut down a little bit. That passing lane that normally is wide open, well, with that extra little bit of arm and that little extra hand, now that's in the passing lane. And now instead of 3 steps to get there, well, since they've got their hand out, they now meet you at about 2.5 steps. Mm-hmm. And so everything's got to be sharp. Everything's got to be not only on time, but maybe even early. Mm-hmm. And that's just a completely different mindset. And you got to – when you can't match that length at any point, you just always have to be locked on. And I think that's why this Kings team just cannot find an answer, is because they can't ever match the length. They don't have lineups that allow them. They never go Keegan Murray at the 2,
right.
HB at the 3, Trey at the 4, and you know Sasha at the 5, whatever. Like, they don't ever go with length. And so they're always having to beat their other teams with pace, with just smarts, and trying to be early on everything. And I think a lot of the time they just kind of forget it. And I think that's why Mike Brown has said, even yesterday, he's like, this isn't really an X's and O's things. It's more these guys just aren't doing what we're telling them. And it's kind of an effort thing as well.
You know, it's a speculation sensation already on this show. And you know what, man? I think that Coach Mike Brown is saying certain things in the press conference, and I don't know if he's actually talking to the media, and I don't know if he's actually talking to the team. I'm starting to feel like he's talking to Monty McNair.
Yep. The man upstairs. Yep.
I don't think the issue is our game plan. We do the same conversation with the Giants. Yep. This is what's in my fridge.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And I think I'm doing pretty darn well with what's in the fridge.
Yep.
All right? But when you get to a point, Chris, this is when I would have left last night. Well, when Cody Zeller
made
a three and was showing out. Yeah. He was showing out.
He was.
I got to get my money back.
That's crazy.
I'm going to guest services.
I didn't pay for
I'm going to guest services and say, hey, this is not what I paid for.
No. No.
Okay? I'm going to guest services. Because that's absurd.
Crazy. No, that's nuts.
He was having the time of his life. I've never seen someone have so much fun. It was a party.
It was crazy.
And everybody was invited.
Yeah.
Besides the Kings.
I think I heard, shout out Deuce, I think I heard Deuce say that was the first three Cody Zeller's made since 2021.
Stop it.
So it's been 3 years since he hit a three.
You can't see these guys in the playoffs. It's over now.
Oh, it's over. It's over. This is a avoid at all costs.
Yes.
This is a, hey, if the Kings are like a six seed and the Pelicans are a three seed or vice versa, we got to do whatever we can to make that not happen. Like, I don't care if they're tanking, if they're like, this is an avoid at all costs. Even if you think, oh, the Kings won't get swept. The Kings cannot beat this team four times.
They can't.
They cannot, as currently
they
constructed,
can't beat them once.
Beat this team. Yeah, they can't even beat them once. So why? There's nothing to show. I know sometimes it happens where regular season record happens and then postseason is a different story. This is not one of those times. The Pelicans, I would put the Clippers in that conversation. Mm-hmm. I for sure would put Minnesota in that conversation with how they're playing now. Those are a void
Chris,
at all cost opponents.
Chris.
Yeah.
Only eight teams make the playoffs. And
that's
the Kings,
what I keep hearing.
That's four,
yeah.
including the Kings. That's four teams.
Yeah. So what's that tell you? You should probably change something up, right?
It says, Monty, get on the phone. All right, got to get to a break. Speaking of phones, we are opening up the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. 916-339-1140. Are we overreacting? Are you worried about the Kings? How are you feeling after their seventh blowout out of their 14 losses? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Emil Fragoso at 11 to talk Niners, playoff expectations, and playoff situations. Here you go for all you plus-minus people out there. Domantas Sabonis was a minus 32. Harrison Barnes was a minus 13. Keegan Murray was a minus 31. De'Aaron Fox was a minus 30. Duarte, minus 19. Vezenkov, minus 24. Malik Monk, minus 26. Ooh. JaVale McGee, minus 17. You get to some pluses. Kessler Edwards, a plus 7. Colby Jones, plus 12. Alex Len, a plus 14. Here you go.
They turned that 50-point loss into a 30.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Appreciate it.
The text line, 209. Yo, my dad and I have had season tickets for 20 of the last 26 years.
Whoa.
I'm 30. I took my one-year-old son to his first game yesterday.
Brother.
I thought things were going to be different for him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, 209.
That's what we like to call generational trauma.
Give him his money back.
Yeah.
Give him something.
Think about the kids,
all right? They're going to be scared of Pelicans.
My goodness.
For the whole life.
Ugh.
916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Let's go to Doug, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Doug? You're on Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love your show. I was at the game yesterday, and it was
sorry to hear that.
Disheartening. Disheartening was the best way I could describe it. Mm-hmm. I just watched them put up shot after shot, and they were making shots. And the shots we were getting weren't good shots for us. We had open looks, and I'm okay with that. I knew that we didn't go in and match up well with them because of their previous results. So I wasn't expecting a lot. I said, well, maybe we could get it closer, and it just went the other way. So for me, for Monty, it is you can only do two things. You can either change your players or change your players. And I mean, either you coach them up and they get better and there's potential there, or you change your players by getting new ones.
Right.
Last year, we snuck up on people because we didn't have the injury bug. Well, they went in and everybody got healthy and they got some more improvements in their rosters, and we didn't get very much. So this is where we are, and they hear the booing and stuff. You know, I've been through it, so I've been going to Kings fans for games and stuff as a fan for over 25 years. So that's kind of where we're at. So if we don't go in and make a big move, in the sense that if we screw this up and get it wrong, it'll still set us back another 2 or 3 years by trying to make a deal that ends up blowing up in our face. So love your show. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Doug.
I wish we could be as calm as Doug.
Yeah.
He's like, man, it's all right. Like, sometimes you lose by 50 at home, and it's just, it's fine.
Well, if you got, I guess those were the expectations. You know, I like Doug's note about either change your players
Definitely.
Or change your players. That first one is not happening. Mm. The one where you coach your players up, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Right?
We have a large enough sample size.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not to say the Kings are bad.
Yeah.
That's not to say they're not a good team.
Fifth seed in the West.
They're good. You are what your record says you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are good enough to beat the teams for the most part you're supposed to beat. You can mess around and beat a team maybe that you shouldn't beat, but you also lose to some teams that you shouldn't lose to.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking at the rest of the West, you just named off three teams that you don't think that they match up well against.
Yeah.
And they can make the playoffs.
I didn't even say the defending champs.
You didn't even say the Nuggets. So I'm looking here at what the Kings were able to do last season. You had the Grizzlies that had Ja Morant. They were the 2 seed. The Nuggets, they took care of business. After that, you had the Suns that had KD,
he didn't really play much.
Right, they got KD throughout that season.
Yeah, second half of the season, and then he got hurt, twisted his ankle in the first home game, and really, I think he played like under 15 games.
The Clippers weren't whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clippers just clippered.
Right, they were the 5 seed. The Warriors had a rumble royale. They were punching people. We'll get to Draymond Green in a second here as a 6 seed. The Lakers did the last second or the trade deadline stuff, and they made the push. And the Timberwolves, I guess the Timberwolves definitely, that was their first year getting used to their new group. So they definitely did not perform as well as people thought. So now going to this season, we knew the Thunder would make a leap. They made that leap. The Timberwolves now have played together for a year. They're more used to it. The Clippers, add James Harden for however much you like James Harden or don't like James Harden. It's working right now. The Nuggets are still the Nuggets. So you swapped out the Suns and the Grizzlies for 4 teams that are now rolling, right? And you, as the Kings, haven't changed. You just stayed the same.
Yep.
Now, I don't really blame Monty McNair for staying the same, but now we know it's not good. We know it's not good enough now.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We know it's not good enough. And hear this. They're not done on a national level. You got to go to Philly, and that's nationally televised.
I told you I didn't want that.
That was January 12th, I believe.
I don't want it.
Okay?
I don't want that.
Then you got to go to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee isn't playing great,
no.
But you got to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah, you got to deal with Giannis.
So this could get worse before it gets better, but to your point, because that's the same trip, when they come back
January
for the return—
18th.
Hallie's coming home.
Mm-mm.
When they come back for that game,
Mm-mm.
we'll see who's still in the uniform.
And imagine if nothing has happened by then. And then imagine what happens.
Depends on what happens on the road trip.
But if Tyrese Halliburton comes in this building January 18th and lights it on fire, has a 35-11 with no turnovers, and the Kings lose by 15, Tyrese Halliburton is telling the crowd, like, oh, yeah, let me hear it. I know you miss me.
Oh, stop.
You're trying to tell me nothing's going to happen?
Stop it.
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't think Monty McNair is thinking about that moment as he shouldn't, but you know, to your point, things could get a whole lot worse if they continue to just stand pat and say, you know, maybe we'll wait. Maybe we'll see what opportunity presents itself. I think, you know, if Monty wants to make something of this year, if he wants to truly say, like, no, we're going for it. Because to me, the offseason said, hey, we're okay with running it back, what happened last year. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, put my stamp down and say we're definitely trying to make a move, because what happens is if you go out there and sign a Kyle Kuzma and that's a definite, okay, we're trying to upgrade on last season. Well, now you talk about expectations. Well, now expectations are you have to be better. And so I feel like Monty has kind of waited to put that stamp down to say, no, we're going for it. I think he's got to do it. I think he's got to officially say, like, no, this Kings team, we're not trying to flounder anymore. We're actually trying to be a part of the conversation.
So here would be the argument.
And I flipped my tune on this, man. It's crazy because, like, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have been more when we were doing the roundtable.
Oh, I can't
Brandon
wait for the roundtable. I can't
saying,
wait.
Oh, yeah, no, timeline. And,
Wednesday.
You know, my rush, all that stuff. And it's like, I just can't see this stuff anymore. I cannot continue to watch this team get blown out the way they have and perform poorly when they don't knock down shots and just continue to say, oh, it's fine. When we hit shots, we're good. But when we don't, we're just useless.
My argument to not make a crazy move is that, to be completely honest with you, I think even if you make a move at this trade deadline, you're really doing it for next season anyway. And the reason I say that is because we have this conversation, this trade deadline stuff, and we can pull the numbers. How many champions have come from a big move?
Well, even the Sabonis move, like, it didn't change that half season.
It didn't change that half season.
It changed the season after. Everything completely changed. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, like, it's a, I mean, what? We had Sean from Locked On Raptors on Friday, and he said pretty much the same thing. He said, Pascal Siakam specifically isn't a guy that you can just throw into your roster. Yeah. Like, he's somebody who kind of requires a lot of attention and a lot of, you know, just delicate balance, because he's somebody who's used to being the number one option. And if you bring him over here to Sacramento and say, hey, it's De'Aaron 1, Sabonis 2, usually it's been Malik 3, mm-hmm. and if not even sometimes Malik 2. So you got to figure out where you fall. Like, that's not an easy thing to figure out on the fly and then say, oh, yeah, not only figure that out, but, like, we need to be, like, figuring that out really soon so we can have success this season.
Right. My argument to still do it is because in the summer they're not going to be any less suitors.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to be battling with more. There might be I've seen it on the SAC chat. I've seen it on the text line. Hey, in summer there's going to be more players. True. There will also be more teams. Yep. Solely, that's their sole focus right now. Mm-hmm. So you're almost, if I have to pay a higher price to get somebody on a contract, that's why I'm out on Pascal Siakam. If you have to pay a bit of a higher price to lock somebody down before you get to the summer and everybody is looking, right? And say what you want, you know, you go back and forth about the different NBA cities, and you're battling with a Miami, and you're battling with other cities that maybe are viewed as not better, but just, you know, bigger in general. I don't know if I want to get in that mix. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Mitch, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mitch? You're on Sals and Watkins.
How we doing, guys? Chris.
Good. What you got for us?
I think it was New Orleans. I mean, they have a big lineup, and they didn't even have the big fella. You know, he's like an old tackle there that can play some basketball. I just wish he had more size in our lineup, even the guard position. I'm just, you know, the center and it's the guy that plays next to Fox. You know, Fox is the off guard. To me, they got to do something about it. They got to get more size and go deep into the squad. I know I say almost half the things I repeat every time I'm on the show, but we have a very good team, but I agree. We should make a move. Let's make a move. I think we made any move other than the draft choice, drafting this past draft. We got to make some kind of a decent trade in our favor.
Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah, I mean, they went out and they get Kessler, so they've done a couple different things, but it just hasn't seemed to be enough. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Draymond Green has returned, and he's doing it in a big way because, of course, he is. More Kings talk, of course. Emil Fragoso at 11. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Yeah, that's 4 hours.
Four of them things.
And we can't roast the Kings for 4 hours. That's not productive.
No.
Okay, so let's cleanse our palate here and talk about a guy who I've called probably the most polarizing player in the league. And late last week, it was reported that Draymond Green was clear to rejoin the team and work towards a return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that they have an exact date yet.
I don't think so.
He's got to get his body right. He wasn't with the team. So we thought, now Draymond Green comes out today with a full media rollout.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, number one, the Draymond Green podcast has returned.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, he also announced that they are re-signing with Volume, which is owned by Colin Cowherd. He is re-signing with them to continue that contract and his podcast.
Why did the podcast go away? I'm sorry.
Maybe it was just,
I don't know. Have it signed, I believe.
Yeah, maybe. They were just waiting for the contract to be signed. Yeah. Or
it just stopped at the end of last season?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
what happened?
I think they did one in the summer. One random one. I remember one in June.
Oh, yeah. He probably did when he re-signed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine he did one when he re-signed, mm-hmm. and that was probably the last one. But, yeah, mm-hmm. we haven't gotten one yet this year.
Yeah. So, until today, and he said a lot, okay? He talks about crying with Steve Kerr, who visited him. He talks about spending 2 days straight in his man cave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just thinking, just contemplating. And we have the audio here. He also talked about leaving the game entirely.
I had a conversation with Adam Silver, commissioner of our league. I just told him, Adam, it's too much for me. Like, this is too much. It's all becoming too much for me. And I'm going to retire. And Adam said, you're making a very rash decision. And I won't let you do that. You know, we had a long, great conversation, very helpful to me, very thankful to play in a league with a commissioner like Adam, who's more about helping you than hurting you, or helping you than punishing you, or, you know, he's more about the players.
So, we have a tweet from Draymond Green 3 minutes ago.
Really? Oh, hot off the press.
Where he quote tweets a screenshot of himself with a microphone in one side of the shot and slapping Nurkic or punch slap in the other slide and says, I was wrong. And Draymond has quote tweeted it and added text to say, understand, period. Accept the shortcomings and do the work to move forward. That was 3 minutes ago from Draymond Green. Now, Chris.
Yes. I don't like your tone.
No. Chris, resident Warrior hater.
No.
May I say?
Yes.
Chris comes to me this morning.
Yeah.
He goes, Alan, I listened on the way in.
Whole thing.
And Chris left me speechless. Chris, what was your takeaway from this whole thing with Draymond Green?
I really, really liked what Draymond had to say. Like, to me, he really sounded like a guy who had thought about it and really understood what was wrong with his ways. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I could literally hear his therapy coming out in his speech. Like, you could hear him almost, like, you can almost hear his therapist talking to him,
right,
or him answering questions from his therapist as he's talking. Like, he talks about accepting blame and, you know, acknowledging things that he had done in the past, like always acknowledging how every time he had apologized in the past, there was always a but, and how he was like, I didn't even realize that my wife and Steve Kerr both told me the same thing, that every time I apologize, I always have a but here's a reason for why I was doing that. And he said he never realized it. And it just really, to me, felt like he actually took the time away to reflect. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because this is also a bit coming off the heels of John Morant. Like, that was the last indefinite suspension that we had. And just to see how Ja has spoken about his suspension and dealing with trying to come to the other side of the suspension or the reason why he got suspended versus Draymond, to me, there's no difference at all. Like, or there's a huge difference between the two. Draymond actually sounds like somebody who has gone through the proper channels of trying to get better. And to me, Ja just sounded like, I did my time. Here's me on the other side. I'm not changing. I think Ja literally said, I'm still going to do me at all times. And, you know, Draymond even said, I'm not going to stop getting into it on the court, but I'm going to stop with the antics. And he knows that there's a difference between antics and playing with fire. And of course, his actions are going to be the thing that speaks louder than his words. Draymond's a great talker. I told you that. There's a possibility I've just been finessed by Draymond's gift of gab.
We'll see.
But I believed him. Like, I really think he sounded like somebody who had repented and had truly thought about what he had done and how it had affected people. And he even apologizes to Steph. He's like, I heard Stephen A talk about how, you know, this is showing Steph's bad leadership because he didn't check his boy. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, that crushed him. That was really the thing that really hurt him. And so to me, I don't know, there's just a sense of real acknowledgement and real, at least, you know, and we talk about acknowledgement being the first step all the time. It really feels like he's trying to legitimately be better. And the thing he even said too is, all of his antics have been on the floor. Like, when you talk about Draymond Green wilding out, it's never been Draymond's at a club throwing punches or Draymond's in a pickup basketball game punching people or anything like that. It's solely been on the basketball floor, and he seems to understand that it's that area of his life that he needs to clean up. He's a good guy by all intents and purposes, great family man. It's just, when he's on the basketball floor, something else happens, and he's trying to get better at it. I don't know. I would suggest everyone at least give him 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's one of those things where there's so many different clips that come out. You feel like, I mean, do I really need to listen to this? I mean, it feels like half the episode is on social media already, which is on purpose. I know he had the one, there was something, he went to a Michigan State game, and there was some incident there, but it wasn't anything big enough to where, we would put it in that category. Here's the thing I will say. I won't compare Ja and Draymond Green simply because of the age difference. I mean, Draymond is 33.
Absolutely.
And if you look at it, look how many different instances and situations happened to Draymond before he got here.
Right.
Before he got here.
Super fair.
And Ja, I guess this is number two-ish.
Yeah, and he's right? 24, 23.
Exactly.
Draymond's 34, 35.
But it is good that you can see that difference. Ultimately, the whole thing with Draymond, and look, I didn't love personally the rollout of all this. We can go back and forth on it, but okay, you release the pod, and it's always going to help Draymond, but if what he's saying is legit, then I guess I'm all for it. We'll see when he actually plays. So, like, I'm not mad at anybody for getting their money and chasing the bag.
Yeah.
But this is he did the same thing at the TNT special with the punch.
Yes,
to where he's
true.
Sitting there, and on this one, it's I thought about retirement. So maybe I don't have enough context. I will go ahead and finish listening to the whole thing. But yeah, you know, obviously we don't want anybody. We don't want anybody's safety in trouble on the court, right? And we don't want anybody to throw away what's left of their Hall of Fame career in Draymond Green to go down the toilet because you can't figure out how to harness your emotions. So I hear you on that. Let's get to a break. When we get back, we have Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers insider at 11. And then after that, we're talking some Niners at 11:30. Yes, we will break down podium gate. We will break down press conference gate. That's at 11:30. All your answers to why it was Keon Ellis at the podium, we will answer for you. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.